Bibles. I'm not sure where they placed it. It's supposed to be there in the New Testament. Isn't the Lord good to us?
Amen.
1 Timothy will be our text this morning. I love this church, love this pastor, and I'm grateful to be here this morning. 1 Timothy. That's some mighty good singing y'all doing. And somebody doing some pretty good shouting back there. I don't know which one it is, but I need you to come with me to some of these meetings I'm in and help me do some of that shouting. Or just tape it and I'll mash the button at the appropriate spots. Most Baptists don't know where a good shouting spot is. If I could take that feller back there that hollers like he treed a coon. I ain't seen him, but I sure have heard him. Sometimes from week to week, I get in some of these dead meetings, and man, I just dream about if one feller, if somebody just hiccup, you know, that'd be all right, too. My, my. Hadn't the Lord been good to all of us? Let's look at the Bible this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to direct your attention to verse 15. Take our text out of one verse, leave your Bibles open in Timothy, and we'll look at some things in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for every blessing of life. We want to gather in the house of God this morning with one voice. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for America and the freedom that is ours. Thank you for our forefathers, the prayers they prayed, and the price they paid for us to have what we have here today. Father, we pray for this generation that the power of God would move within it. The power of God move upon us. That our children and our children's children might come to know Christ in real saving knowledge. Father, help us in the text and help us in the church. Help us this morning. And I love you. Take everything out of my spirit that is of me and fill me full up with the Holy Ghost that I can break the bread of life and dish it out this morning. And we'll thank you for all your blessings in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people say, I want you to look in verse 15 where he mentioned in the latter half of that verse the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I have a little thought here. I don't often have titles, but I've actually got a little title this morning. Wonderful Discoveries at the House of God. My grandma's having her 80th birthday party this afternoon. We'll be going there in a little while. And I always used to like to go to Grandma's house. There are wonderful discoveries. You get to see pictures of your dad when he was a hippie, you know. Stuff like that. You'd see your uncles with them 70s hairdo and them sideburns that went down to their ankles and wrapped back up. And you get to get in Grandma's old treasure chest. You get to get up there in the attic. You get to get out in the barn. My papaw had so many treasures. We just loved going to papaw's house. And as the children of the family, we got to dig through all the family treasures. Well, I want to say to you this morning, here just for a little while, if we want to dig around in God's house. Now, this is a series out of 1 Timothy. Relax thine own self. I'll not preach the whole thing. Breathe deeply and sigh of relief. Too many points to preach. You'll be glad to know I realize that. That'll help people that don't like church. Well, I may preach all of it. It's got a little rowdy here. But I've highlighted one truth out of each chapter, and that's why I'll not preach all of them, but maybe something out of chapter 1, chapter 2, and maybe out of chapter 3. And just highlighted some truths right out of 1 Timothy, that where Paul was sharing with the young preacher the wonders of the house of God. And he wrote this letter to him that Timothy would know how to act in the house of God. That he'd know how to appear before God, how to stand before God in the house of God, which is the church. I want to stop and say, I love the church. Well, I guess we'd say something a lot better than that. Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. It is his bride. It is his body. You can read about that in Ephesians 5. The church. I want to say a little something extra about that. I appreciate the local church. This crowd claimed to be in the church. You can't ever find them in a church. Make me nervous about them actually being in the church. I recognize that we are the body of Christ, not limited to buildings or denominations. But I will say this, honey, everybody that's actually ever got spirit baptized into the spiritual body has a desire to be somewhere in a local body. I'm glad you hollered amen real good right there. I won't have to take any more time on that. I'm dealing with a young man last week who didn't have any local church doctrine. And I said, well, son, you're going to have a lot of problems. What are you going to do with the officers? God give us bishops and deacons, pastors and teachers, brethren and sisters. Told the aged women to, if any of them admit it, to teach the younger women. What are you going to do about all them folk that God placed in the body for the edifying of the saints? What are you going to do with all the officers? If you just going to float around and have recliner religion, a fellowship of three flaky nuts somewhere in their living room. What you going to do with the officers? What you going to do with the ordinances? Tell me exactly when and how you going to observe the Lord's Supper. And exactly how you going to carry out the ordinance of baptism. If you don't believe in the local church. So what are you going to do with the offerings? If you even believe in giving a tenth and a 20th and a 30th, and where are you going to bring your spiritual sacrifices and offer them up? Oh, I like the way y'all don't mind offering up spiritual sacrifices around here. He said, my house will be called the house of prayer. Honey, if we know how sweet of an incense that our prayers and our praises, our sighs and our groans, how they enter into the throne room and approach His heart. If we knew how sweet it made the throne room smell, honey, we'd offer up a lot more than we even do. Every tear, when it's distilled in the laboratory of the throne room, see, He puts them in a bottle and He smells them and He holds that for you. And you'll get there one day and He's captured all them tears and He's captured all them sighs and all the groanings of your soul that you sent to Him while you were crawling through that deep, dark valley. He captures all that. That fella shouting like he cooed a tree. How do you coo a tree? Like he treed a coon. That old boy, now I've heard some folk hollering, you could tell God wasn't within 7 miles of it, but I swan every time that fella says, what, however he does it, every time he hollers from right below his belly button, bless my bridges, it helps me up here on the front row. I'm telling you, honey, there's a crowd in that Bible that wasn't ashamed to shout and to praise God and to lift up their spiritual sacrifices as the evening offering. And I'm telling you, he captures all that. Now, I got some points, but I may never even see none of them. Sitting over here by the choir leading brother and this precious little girl was looking up at me. And just looking up, and Daddy was up here leading the choir, and she was looking up at me. And then, until I looked at her and scared her to death, and then she wouldn't look at me no more. But these little children lined up here, and you parents know, and those of you with babies, and I'm sorry your baby ain't quite as pretty as mine, but all those of you got babies. Me and Jennifer, we're capturing every little moment. Last night, Preston rolled over off of his back onto his stomach, propped up on an elbow. We wrote it down in three journals, got the video camera out, called seven people. Invited folk to come over just to see if he'd do it again. It was 11 o'clock and they were all in bed, but I called them anyway in case they wanted to come over. These major events, you don't just skip. He rolled over and popped up on that elbow and we just see captured that. And Jennifer got that little baby book out and she was hot. Whoa, did you see that? Like he got up and spoke in three languages or something. So we're capturing every little moment. You know what the Lord in heaven's doing, looking on his children this morning. I never thought this thought. It ain't in the notes. It's this morning. See those tears. This morning I almost didn't come see y'all because Preston went. I thought, well, I could call him, just stay here with him. That'd be all right. You'll know what he's doing when y'all run down these offices and say, Daddy, those tears, those sighs, every little thing, he's a capture. And a hold. And just like Mary kept all these sayings, that angel showed up and told her some amazing things about the son she's going to have. And Mary kept all these sayings and hid them in her heart. And treasure them. That's how he's doing us. And so I asked, what you going to do with all your offerings if you don't believe in the local church? I'm glad I got somewhere to go. To give back all the material and physical blessings. And then he gave me my life back, so I want to give him, I will give my life back to him. And those spiritual sacrifices. And I said to that young man, what are you going to do about all these things? What are you going to do about your New Testament, son? All them letters written to the church and all the order. That's a rain. I'm telling you, you ought to appreciate the local church. If you're in the body, we ought to find you in a scriptural body somewhere. There's wonderful discoveries down here at the house of God. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter... Let me see if I can say something about a couple of these things. Here's some things you'll find when you get down at the house of God. In chapter 1, I want to say, number 1, you'll find a special mercy. A wonderful mercy. Read in chapter 1 and verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And here's Paul speaking, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he said, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Did you see the word mercy in verse 13? And the word mercy in verse 16. Paul said, I tell you what I found. He said, I found mercy. Can I say, honey, that down at the house of God there is a mercy being extended? If you happen to be a visitor, if you happen to be a sinner, if you happen to be here without Christ this morning, know this, that there's mercy. You're in a place where there's mercy. us. What mercy. Paul said that he was merciful. There's two thoughts here. The mercy of the Lord can be seen in this chapter. Two little thoughts. It can be seen in a divine saving and in a divine selection. Let's look at those two, and that may be all we have time for, because I feel happy bubbles wanting to join this thing. The mercy of the Lord! When you come down to the house of God, honey, there's mercy. This ain't a courthouse, it's a church house. There is a judge down here, but his son done paid everybody's penalty. We got one judge and a whole lot of witnesses. We got an advocate. It is a courthouse, but it operates a little different than others. There is a judge, there is an advocate, and there's a whole lot of witnesses. But honey, there is a gavel that's ready to forgive, ready to fall down on your guilty soul. The price has been paid. I mean, there's some record books down here at this courthouse. And a whole lot of bad stuff on them records. But there's an amazing thing. There's an advocate down here with a blood-stained, nail-scarred hand, and he's ready to tear your page out. Oh, yeah, I guess it is a courthouse, but it operates different than one you've ever been in. A lot of witnesses in this courthouse. Y'all leave me alone. A whole lot of witnesses down here line up and tell you how merciful this judge is. Oh, he's a just judge. He's not taking bribes or operating unjustly. He's a just judge. These penalties that are being forgiven and forfeited, they're not just being overlooked, honey. They were dealt with on Calvary's cross. The price was paid. He's a just justifier. Paul said, I obtained mercy because I was operating in ignorance and unbelief. And can I say this? We all were before we came to the light. Before He touched you and dropped the scales off your eyes. Boy, ain't you glad He's merciful with our ignorance and our unbelief? He's merciful with our ignorance. The Hebrews 5 said, who can have mercy on them that are ignorant? Who can have compassion, how He said it in Hebrews 5. Who can have, He said, we're dealing with a high priest who can have compassion on the ignorant. And I like this next one. And on them that are out of the way. That's warped. You want Tunnel Hill word study. Oh, Tom Gillen was just here. I bet you had some word studies. Here's a Tunnel Hill, North Georgia word study for you. On them that are out of the way, warped. Dysfunctional, messed up. Marred. Hebrews 5 said we're dealing with a high priest who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. Well, I'm glad He operates in mercy towards our ignorance, our unbelief, and our warpedness. Seeing warpedness, seeing blindedness. We had one operating in mercy. Is your two little thoughts? Mercy can be seen in a divine saying. Look in verse 15. I show you that divine saying. Here it is. If you're scared of happy bubbles, plug your ears and don't look at them. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, I'm glad that's in the Bible. He came to save sinners. The Pharisees and scribes thought they had Him nailed down in Luke 15. And they said, this man receiveth sinners. And eateth with them. And they thought they had Him. Guilty by association. He said, I sure do. Even what you boys don't know is you're worse sinners than these boys that I'm sitting with. Because your own righteousness makes God a little bit more sick than your unrighteousness. A divine saying. Paul said, He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Look what a sinner he was. Verse 13. Three things. He said, I was before, who was before. Anybody here else got a testimony about what you used to be? It was before. Let me tell you what it was before. Before I met that resurrected Savior on the road to Damascus, he said, before I was a blasphemer. He said, before I was a persecutor. He said, before I was injurious. I was hurting people. Anybody else here know the weight of shame and the weight of guilt? Anybody else here know that peculiar feeling that don't let you sleep at night when you lay your head down and finally the dope wears off and the alcohol wears off and the good time wear off and memories come flooding back of all the people who you have left behind, broken and bleeding? I got an old friend. I don't know if y'all know Brother Lance Carpenter. He's an old bald-headed feller. Got saved out of Nashville, Tennessee. Had three divorces and had just he was a dope addict and an alcoholic. When the Lord found him in one of the back alleys of Nashville. He'd been a Nashville star. Him and Willie Nelson cut their first record together. Lance Carpenter was on one side of that little track. And on the other side of Willie Nelson, both of them cut their first record together. God saved and saved the pudding out of them. You ought to hear him testify. He'll start talking about that fast life in Nashville. He'll start talking about all the women and all the children. He said, I was wrecking lives. I was wrecking cars. I was wrecking hearts. I was wrecking my babies. He said, I wrecked my mama. He said, the Lord found me. Anybody else here know what it's like to be before injurious? Wonder how Paul felt when he was up preaching somewhere. And he'd stand up to preach in one of them little churches out yonder somewhere. And the family in the back would slip out.